Today on episode number 401 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/401. We have a phenomenal because of my podcast story. And I got to tell you, more and more families are starting to podcast together. It's way, way cool. Wait till you hear about this. We're also going to talk about lessons I learned from the zoo. Yeah, the zoo. Yeah, and how they can help your podcast. We've also going to talk with Steve Stewart. We are going to talk about fads in podcasting and an interesting kind of promotion around April Fool's Day that Steve is doing to help grow his podcast audience. And of course, your podcast questions answered. And today we're going to talk about, when do I add or start another podcast, or should I add this topic to the podcast, things like that, all on episode number 401. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so very, very much for tuning in. I really do deeply appreciate it. If you are new to the show, hey, thanks for coming. Do me a favor, give me a couple episodes. Sometimes I'm in an acquired taste, but I love to talk all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to recording, all points in between. We're all about helping you flatten the podcast learning curve. And I just want to let you know, you are never alone when it comes to starting your journey of podcast success. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. Everything, any way you want to contact with me, I would love to hear from you. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/connect. And you know, if you listen to this show, I like to get right to the meat and potatoes. Love to start off with some cool words, whether it's podcast success or podcast news, things like that. And today we've got Mark from the OBEEP podcast. You can find him at OBEEP, that's BEEP.com. Take it away, Mr. Mark.
Hello, Dave. This is Banana Sauce, a.k.a. Mark, from the OBEEP Geocaching podcast. I'm one third of the hosting team of the podcast. Usually I'm alongside Castilla, a.k.a. Sophie, and Dr. D, a.k.a. Sam, who are my daughter and son. Sophie's 11, Sam's 13. And our podcast is about the niche of geocaching and all things related to geocaching. It's a weekly release show, and we have a lot of fun doing it. Because of the podcast, I get to sit down for 2 hours or a couple of hours a week with the kids, and I get to sit and marvel at how funny they are, how talented they are, how quick-witted they are, how they just absorb everything around them and could just pick things off the top of the head at a moment's notice and contribute to the podcast. It's just been real fun watching them develop over the last couple of months while we've been doing the podcast. Seeing Sophie's confidence build. Seeing Sam grow into the role of sort of the comedian on the podcast, if you want. Also, because of the podcast, we've made a lot more friends within geocaching. You know, we sort of come out of our shells a bit more, and we've started socialising a bit more within the realm of geocaching. We've also made quite a few friends within the podcasting realm as well, online and in real life. So we've had a lot of fun doing that. We've talked to people from all over the world. Sophie's appeared on a nighttime stories podcast in Australia, and Sam's been interviewed on a podcast in America, a geocaching podcast there. I've even managed to appear on a couple of other podcasts too. And because of our podcast, we've had one of the biggest UK geocaching podcast hosts appear on our show and co-host it with myself. Also, because of the podcast, the kids are starting to learn the technical side of it and take that into places like school. Sam does the electric guitar at school, and he's learning how to use the mixer and set up the mics, and eventually I want to get him recording his electric guitar on there and his instruments so he can go into music in school, and he's already got that knowledge of behind the scenes of it all. Sophie's also great on the mic. She takes instructions, she knows what to do, and she's almost there helping produce the podcast and knows when to do things and what to do. It's just great to see them absorb it all and learn. Pretty much learning in advance of me learning stuff as well, because I'm very new to this as well. You can find us at www.obeep.com, and that's the OBEEP Geocaching Podcast.
Right, I love the accent. Right, it's great. I love any kind of accent. I love, it's awesome. And I got to tell you, went out to obeep.com, and I clicked on geocaching stats. And we're going to talk about niche things today and niching down, things like that. This is like a whole nother world that I have no idea what they're talking about. But man, are they knee deep into it. And on the Ask the Podcast Coach this week, Jim Collison said he found a podcast. I forget what it was. Somebody was listening to it. Might have been after the show. He said, I found this show and I went and downloaded everything this guy had. And I was like, there we go. I've heard that. If you knew how many times I've heard that. Somebody said, I found this podcast. I downloaded everything they had. And so here, I understand what geocaching is, but people that are into it are so into it. And so here, one of the greatest things you earn, because we're going to talk a little later about making money with your podcast, but one of the biggest things that you gain from podcasting is hanging out with people who think just like you. And how fun is that? Because I don't know about you, I hang around a lot of people that I'm like, ugh, you do not think like me. And that doesn't mean I'm always right, by the way. But you know what I mean? It's like, ugh, seriously? Is that how you're going to go there? All right. So, Mark, thank you so much. And if you can answer that question because of my podcast, please don't hesitate. You can dial it. It's 888-563-3228. You can do what Mark did. Just go out and go to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And I've got a little button right there. And if you got a microphone plugged in, you can send it that way. And of course, if you're already a podcaster, you probably know your way around the record button. Just send it to me as an MP3 file. And we'll definitely be talking about your website and your podcast right here on this website. And speaking of websites and podcasts, let's go over. I always like to do a member spotlight. Kind of got off the path of doing these. And today we're going to spotlight Joshua Rivers. He does the Quality Living Made Simple podcast. Let's listen to the intro of that.
Welcome to Quality Living Made Simple. This is a podcast to help you create and maintain a quality life. We can do this by implementing simple tips, tools, and ideas. You can find out more at qualitylivingmadesimple.com. Now, here's your host, Joshua Rivers.
All right, definitely excited today to be able to have another interview with a past guest. So if you've been listening for a while.
And there you go. Within the first minute, you know exactly what you're getting to. And Josh is getting right to the interview in this case. And again, you can find him at qualitylivingmadesimple.com. All right, well, joining me via Skype, you know him and love him. You can't get enough of him. The one, the only. Don't be fooled by imitations. Do I have any other cliches I could throw in here?
Yes, you do, but please stop.
Okay. MoneyPlanSOS.com, the one, the only. Steve Stewart is joining me via Skype. Steve, thanks for coming on the show.
Woohoo! Thanks for having me on.
And we're going to talk about a little project you have going, because last week I went a little outside of the box of my podcast, kind of played with my format a little bit, and you have something up your sleeve. So why don't you explain what's going on with that?
It is a podcasting April Fool's joke, but I think it's a little bit different than what some people might imagine when they hear that. Let me give you a little backstory. Last year, in 2013, I switched podcasts with another guy in the same niche as I was. We had kind of similar shows, but not really. So what we did was we switched shows. He took my intro music, took my intro script, and did a show using my stuff. And then I took his recording, uploaded it on my stream, and then my listeners downloaded essentially my show that somebody else is doing. I also did the same thing. I took his music, his intro, and then he uploaded my thing. So we had some similar listeners that didn't realize what was going on until they looked down at their phones and their iPods and said, wait a minute, isn't this Steve's show? And they're listening to John, you know? So I figured this year I can't just do the same thing. I've got to go bigger. So I have now three podcasts that I'm commandeering for April Fool's Day, 2014. My favorite new podcast of the year is Cash Car Convert. James Kinson is the host. He's only got like 22 episodes out. He's allowing me to do his show for a day so he can take a break. That's pretty nice. And then I've got a show that I'm doing, which is it's more of a variety show. And listeners from your show may have heard when you had the big episode, when you talk about your favorite show, what's your favorite podcast? It was the Stacking Benjamins podcast.
Yes.
That show is like a variety show. It's this guy named Average Joe Money. He has his co-host. They talk about a news story. Then they'll break into an interview with somebody, and then he'll have a trivia question, and then they'll have a roundtable discussion with three or four more people. You never know what's coming up next. And so I'm trying to imitate that as well. So that's a really big project. That's the second show that I'm taking over for April 1st. And then the third show is from somebody that I think a lot of your listeners may be familiar with, especially if they know the four guys who are setting up the podcast movement. And his name is Jared Easley.
Okay.
And I'm taking over his show for the day. And it's the worst interview I've ever done. It really is. But the guest, the special guest that I have on for that day, totally pulls it out. So you have to listen to Starve the Doubts on April 1st to hear what I'm talking about.
Okay, so you're, because I could see some people going, this sounds fun, but you also have to worry about your audience, because if they're tuning into your show expecting how to, you know, learn how to handle their money better, and they get, you know, here's how to ride horses or something completely different. So anybody that's taking over your show is still doing your content, correct?
In essence, the person who takes over my show is still going to be in the same genre, the same niche. In fact, I am actually having somebody do my show on April 1st.
Okay.
And that's Stacking Benjamins. I didn't want to really announce that. I wanted to surprise everybody, but
okay.
Everybody in this audience can hear that. I think that's going to be fine. So basically, Average Joe and the Stacking Benjamins, all they, you know, the guests, the round table, all that's coming over to my show, but it's still within the financial arena.
Okay.
How to handle your money. So when I'm doing these other shows, you know, again, I'm using their music. I'm using their intro script. I'm using their format. I'm using the same things that they do in the same area. You know, I'm not talking about heart surgery because I have no idea what that is. I'm talking about things that I think I know about.
Okay, so their audience is still going to kind of get the content they're used to tuning into?
Yes.
Okay, because that was my biggest worry. I was like, okay, this sounds fun. But like I said, if I, you know, let you do my show and all of a sudden you're like, okay, let's talk about... you know, paying off those credit cards, people are like, wait a minute, I thought we were going to talk about ATR 2100s this week.
Right.
And things like that. So that's good. So it sounds like fun. Now, how did you go about pulling this off?
Oh, man. Good old fashioned reaching out to people and asking them. I had a couple of times that I put it out on Twitter. I put it out on a couple of Facebook groups that I belong to. And I only had a couple people interested. And I think that's, again, it's kind of what you were saying. Why would somebody else want me on their show? They're trying to build their audience. You know, they have their own voice. Why would they want somebody else to come in and do that to their audience? So I can understand someone's apprehension. You know, as far as like James Kinson, Cash Car Convert, we have struck up a few conversations on the phone. In fact, I talked to him earlier today. He's all excited about it. He's actually got the file already. He's listened to it. And, you know, it's still in the right frame for his audience. So I had already been talking to him on Twitter and through email. And so we've already had that dialogue. Jared Easley was the big fish, though. That one was kind of hard to land, where that guy's just super busy doing all kinds of stuff. And he was gracious enough to listen to my idea. He loved it. And so he let me take over the show for a day.
Very cool. So now you have two new friends. And they're going to get introduced to your audience. You're going to get introduced to their audience. And so it's in a back-ended kind of way, it's a podcast promotion idea.
Podcast promotion, it's like guest posting.
Yes, basically.
It's just like guest posting, but in podcast form.
Well, very, very cool. Well, where can we find your podcast?
Well, they can find my podcast at moneyplansos.com. If they want to find links to these shows that I'm doing, in case they want to just get a sample of all the four different crazy things, I'll be writing up an actual blog post with the links to it at yesyoucanpodcast2.com/April Fools.
Very, very cool. Excellent. And we should say it's Yes You Can Podcast. Is that number two or T-O-O?
The number two will take them to the right website, but to get to the April Fools post, it's T-O-O.com. Yeah. I know it's not the greatest domain name, but people can kind of remember it. Hey, and you know what? We got more airtime because of it, didn't we?
There you go. Excellent. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about with you while I have you on the mic here is you were listening to Ask the Podcast Coach this morning, which you can find every Saturday morning at schoolpodcasting.com/live at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. And you are the man that back in the day at yesyoucanpodcast2.com penned the phrase, the John Lee Dumas effect, and which then inspired podcastersroundtable.com/22, where we talked about the John Lee Dumas effect. And you had sent me an email with something that I was like, that's really, really good. We've got to talk about this when you come on. So I'll let you take it from there.
Sure. I was just thinking about this after listening to you guys talking on Podcast Coach, Ask a Podcast Coach. It worries me that there's a lot of people out there who are jumping into the podcasting space and they have the best of intentions, but I don't know if they really realize what they're doing. And for guys who are like you and me, we've lived through some times, some economic times and other things over the past couple of decades. You know, if you think about it, a decade ago, we had the housing market when it was really strong and everybody started selling houses. And a few of them survived the Great Recession, but a lot of them just dropped out. But then about 5 years ago, a bunch of these ex-realtors went on to Twitter and Facebook and they became social media experts. And I don't know where you go to college to get that, but they just became, you know, social media managers and things like that. And there are a few of them that succeeded that way, but you can kind of see that trend. And then today there's hundreds of people jumping into podcasting, but it's the entrepreneur interview podcast bandwagon. And I think that this market, you know, they've got the room today, but I think it's going to change just as rotary phones and renting VHSs at Blockbuster, you know?
Come on, be kind and rewind.
I know it's kind of, I feel like I'm telling people don't follow your dream, but that's not at all the case. So I sent that to you because I was thinking, you know, there's all these people out there, they're well-meaning. They want to do something. They're going to this really cool medium, which is podcasting. How do we prevent them from getting frustrated and falling out of the medium and then blaming podcasting and saying, you know, podcasting didn't work. And that's just going to drag down the rest of us. How do we keep them from falling into what seems to be a fad to me?
Yeah, that's, I see that. If somebody said, you know, if Nick Suberling on Start Talking and Recording Today always asked people, where do you see podcasting is going to be in about 5 years? And I'm going to say in about 5 months, maybe a year, year and a half, you're gonna have a bunch of people going, podcasting stinks, man. I tried it. It's awful. And I didn't make $94,000 a month. And man. I can see there's going to be a tidal wave of people. And we're going to go through just what we always do. Podcasting is dead. It's awful. We all thought it was going to be. And it's like, no. So that's my prediction. It has been funny because you've been feeding me a lot of great information. I said last year in December, I made a joke about how inspired by John Lee Dumas, and he is inspiring. He's a great guy. It's a great podcast. I have nothing against John. I have nothing but praise for the guy. He is a really hard worker. But I said, inspired by that, there are going to be plenty of people that are doing exactly what you're talking about. And you know, I'll have to go back later and find all the things you've fed. But there've been a ton of people on fire and entrepreneur podcasts and things like that. And so I loved it that you said, you know, rap was not a fad. We thought it was a fad, but
that's what they told me in high school.
Yeah. Some of us had hoped it was a fad, but that's because I was into hair metal at the time. You know, and you said selling houses is not a fad, and podcasting is not a fad. They keep saying back in the day, they're like, podcasting, schmodcasting. But, you made a great point. You said interviewing entrepreneurs for the purpose of selling advertising on a podcast, you don't think that's sustainable, and I don't. And you say that is a fad. And I'm like, you know what? That's a really, really good point. And I said it, I'm going to repeat it here on Podcast 101, which I'm going to be on in a future episode with Jason. He was interviewing Dino Dogan from Triber at Triber, right? It's Triber with an extra R in there. Yeah. Yes, it's social media for pirates. And he said the one thing about John Lee Dumas was he did something new. It was great that it's a great podcast and he is like Captain Energy. But at the time it was like, whoa, this guy's doing a podcast every single day. And that just wasn't heard of back then. So it was kind of that new factor. So now I think when everybody tries to do that, they're like, oh, look, here's another guy that's doing it every single day. We're all going to go, yeah, I've been there, done that. It's the John Lee Dumas thing. So it'll be interesting to see. But there are a lot of people jumping on the entrepreneur wagon, for lack of a better phrase.
Well, to defend the Johnny Dumas effect, I do think that that business model works. It just doesn't work with everybody doing the exact same thing, which is the interviewing entrepreneurs. And maybe it's not even just interviewing people in general. If you think about a tip of the day, that could work 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. A 5-minute show, tip of the day, that could work. I don't know if you can get advertisers to sponsor a 5-minute show. Maybe you can. I'm not going to try that. It's just too much work for me. Yeah, it might work for somebody.
It'd have to be like a 15-second spot. Today's show is brought to you by blahblahblah.com. Okay, and here's my tip.
Yeah, and that might be enough for somebody to feed their habit, their podcasting habit, So I think that it works. I think that the idea of selling advertising on a podcast to make the money in that way, not in trying to send people to your email list to sell them something, not in trying to get them to go to your webinar and then sell from there. I think the advertising piece works, but it may not work in the grand way that John Lee Dumas has made it happen. And of course, he's getting a lot of visibility because he's the first one. He's done it hugely. And I love the idea that you can make money on your podcast now. That wasn't possible 2-3 years ago.
And now there's services like Gumroad.com that if you've ever seen that, if you're looking to sell digital stuff, it's really, really cool. I'm actually now selling a Excel spreadsheet that if people want to have a Biggest Loser contest. And I put it up there and sold 3 this week. So I'm like, wow, $30. There's my hosting bill.
Awesome.
So, as more and more people start to earn income and create gas money and all sorts of fun things like that, there's going to be more and more services that are going to be able to make it easier in competition and things of that nature. So,
we can also thank the internet for that too, because again, 5 years ago, podcasting wasn't really seen as being something you could market nationally or internationally, where now we have services that people want that it doesn't matter where you're from. You could be in the middle of a field with a Wi-Fi connection and, buy something from Amazon. Why not buy somebody's service that you could use, like 99 Designs or something like that? It's possible now that it wasn't possible a couple of years ago.
Yep, absolutely. Well, there are a lot of those markets now that are, they're not, it's great when you have that niche of having a local business. But on the other hand, if you have something that's, whether it's FreshBooks or Harvest or 99 Designs or all those other ones that, in this case, any kind of entrepreneur podcast, they're all small business people. So they all need websites and tools and things like that. So it's a great mix.
I believe that's where it's going to become unsustainable too, because if you're looking at the same person you're trying to reach as everybody else, and you're all trying to get the advertising that works for that same person, you're going to have 50 people going for the same advertiser. And the advertiser is going to say, well, who can I get the most bang for my buck?
Yeah.
It's going to drive prices down. The person who's hungriest is going to take the deal. And they're going to, so the price is going to be driven down. People are going to fall out of the market because of that. And when I say out of the market, I mean out of podcasting.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's, it's sad as a musician, the price that you pay a band hasn't changed in about the last 15 years, because all you have to do is say, we want more money. And they'll say, well, I'm sorry, that's all you're paying. And you say, well, then I'm not going to pay here. And they go, that's fine. And the minute you step out of the way, there's like 5 other bands waiting to go, I'll take that money. So it goes to the lowest common denominator. And in the end, that's usually not good for live entertainment. And it's not going to be good for podcasting, I would think, in the end. And that's where you're going to have, again, going back to our main point, I think we're going to probably see some disgruntled people going, man, podcasting isn't.
Yeah. I just love the medium too much to let that happen.
Yeah. So there you go. Well, what would be your advice then for somebody then, as we're talking about this?
I think take a realistic look at it. Don't, we can get inspired by the John Lee Dumas effect. We can think that this is possible, but then we've got to say, okay, who is my target audience? Is it the same as everybody else? Can I do something different? And I think that's the main thing. If I'm going to do an entrepreneur, I can't even say the word. If I can do an entrepreneur show, is there something I can do for this specific type of entrepreneur? Is it the young guy out of college? Is it the 40-year-old who's, figured out how to, stumbling over my own words. But
well, it's that in some cases, it's, okay, I like that. How can I make mine better?
Sure. Yeah. There could always be somebody who could unseat John Lee Dumas. They'd have to work, 7 days a week.
But that's the thing. There might be something that, there may be that audience that likes John's show, but they don't want it every day. Maybe they want it 3 days a week, or maybe they want it longer. Maybe they want it every day, but they don't like interviews. You never know. So it'll be interesting to see as time goes along. So, well, Steve, want to thank you so much, man, for coming on the show, and have fun on your... Now, how can I do this? Am I spoiling your surprise by putting this out before April Fool's Day?
No, absolutely not. You can put this out as soon as possible. Just I wasn't going to try and announce it to everybody because a lot of the listeners to those shows, I wanted it to be a surprise. And I don't think that too many of them listen to... Sorry to say this. I don't think they listen to your show, David.
That's fine. Well, I'm not into cash cars and all the other fun-filled stuff. So
maybe you should be.
That's it. I need to start networking with those people. So, and again, we can find you over at moneyplansos.com and yesyoucanpodcast2.com. So, Steve, thanks so much, buddy.
Thanks, David. Appreciate you.
All right, if you are a new listener to the show, you may or may not know my day job. And I got to tell you, people are always like, maybe someday you'll get to quit your day job and do podcasting full time. The last 2 weeks, I have been on fire. I actually teach people computers, and I've just had a great couple weeks at work where, to me, when I walk out of a classroom and people are more productive than when I walked in, it's a good day at work. And this week, I spent almost a whole week at the Akron Zoo. Now, this is Akron, Ohio. It's a suburb of Cleveland, and it's where I grew up. I was born and raised in Akron, and so here I am at the Akron Zoo teaching them different things in Microsoft Office, and I wanted to share some things about this trip, and you're like, what? Trust me, it ties into podcasting. Okay, so hang in there with me. Basically, the Akron Zoo, when I grew up, was this little itty-bitty zoo, and I remember it as a small child growing up, and they had bears, and they had rams, and things like that, and it was really, really cool, but that was back in the day when Akron, Ohio was known as the rubber capital, and we're talking tires here, not prophylactics, and Goodyear was here, Firestone was here, all these major rubber companies, and then eventually they all moved away. And so not only did the city of Akron take a hit, but so did the zoo. And so when I was at the zoo, I was looking around, and at one point, basically, the Akron Children's Zoo had become basically a glorified petting zoo. There really wasn't much to it. And you're kind of like, why is this still around? Why didn't they shut it down? And especially Cleveland, which is about an hour away, is such a huge zoo. You almost need 2 days. Like, you're tired when you come home from going to the zoo. They actually have these little basically glorified golfing carts that drive you around there because you'll never make it. It's huge. And they have polar bears and big bears and lions and tigers and bears and all sorts of fun stuff. They've got orangutans. They've got a rainforest. The Cleveland Zoo is a really, really cool place. If you ever come here and check out the Hard Rock, whatever that is thing. I always call it the Hard Rock Cafe, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, same thing. And check out the zoo while you're here. But so here's the Akron Zoo, right? They're a glorified petting zoo. And number one, they had a new person come on board who had a huge amount of passion about creating like the best zoo ever. He had a strong commitment to conservative. He wants to save the planet. he wants to help preserve animals and things like that. So you had this person fueled by passion, and he came in, reinvigorized the zoo, and, you know, there are many reasons, basically, for zoos to exist, right? There's education, you want species to survive, and this guy, instead, didn't think about the zoo. He focused on what do people want from a zoo. Now, this doesn't mean he ignored the animals. They're very, very, in fact, the habitats and stuff that they put together are very cool. But what do visitors want from a zoo? And the answer is somewhat obvious when you think about it. Visitors that go to the zoo pay money to get content they can't get anyplace else. Okay, they're looking for stuff that you can't get at Walmart. You can't get at Target. You can't get at the movies. You get to see animals that you can't see at the local dog park. But then they took it further. Okay? They took it further. They could have been happy with just getting a grizzly bear and a tiger and a jaguar. But in reality, isn't that what all zoos have? So again, they thought through the eyes of their audience. What do people that come to the zoos want? They want to get close to the animals. Not just see them. I want to get up and close and personal. So when they began rebuilding the zoo, they made exhibits with one thing in mind, and that is their target audience. They want to make a great habitat for the animal and design it so that the animal will be as close as possible to the visitor. Now, I had one of the coolest lunches I've ever had. It was, I went to lunch every day I would teach, and when lunch came, I could walk around the zoo. It was really, really cool. And they have this exhibit with two grizzly bears. And what they did is the glass that you're looking into, like they have, this is outdoors. And so you can see they've got this whole little cave for them to sit in and things like that. But right there, the glass that you're looking through to look into the exhibit, the one side is a pool. So half the glass is water. And as I walked up, as you might imagine, this is during the week, so there's not a lot of people there. There weren't many elementary school classes and things like that. So it's basically me and the bear. And have you ever seen any kind of movie where somebody visits somebody in jail, right? And they grab the phone and they put their hand up on the glass and the other person puts their hand up on the glass. I did that with a grizzly bear. I'm here telling you from me to you, right? Right. Like there, I'll put a link. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/401, you'll see this. But I was basically playing patty cake with a grizzly bear. And this was a big dude. And from what I understand, he's a youngin. It was amazing. So to think that the only thing that's separating me and this bear was some very thick glass. It was just cool. When I told someone at the zoo, they're like, I was explaining, hey, here's what we're going to do, blah, blah, blah. I had a really cool time on my lunch. I was out and the bear was taking a bath. He was hanging out in this little pool. And the zoo person said, that's why we put the pool next to the window. They put all the animals' favorite items, like, I don't know, food, next to places where people stand to view them. So again, they looked at it and said, what does my audience want? And then they said, how can we make it better? So they looked at, okay, people not only want to see animals, they want to see animals up close. And an example was lions basically sleep all the time. That's all they do. And they had, you know, a lion and a lioness there. And they put their bed in a place where everyone can see, fairly close to the window. Now, they had like a big giant moat thing in front of the window that they couldn't get to. But it showed that the zoo was always thinking through the eyes of their audience. And they were trying to give them an experience that they will be talking about, just like I'm talking about now, because I will not forget having lunch with the bear for a very long time. And I want to go back to the zoo and do it again because it was cool. Now, some other things that the zoo did, they renamed themselves. In the 50s, they were known as Akron's Children's Zoo. And in 79, they changed their name to Akron Zoological Park because in reality, Children's Zoo kind of pegged them as a petting zoo. They also, we talk about niching down, right? My buddy Ray Ortega over at podcastersstudio.com. He talks about, I think, I'm giving Ray credit that he coined the phrase niching down. And this is where instead of talking about sports, you talk about football. Instead of talking about football, you talk about the NFL, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the zoo said they had a theme of North and South American animals. And that basically provided a stable base for education and conservation. That's the word I couldn't think of earlier, goals. And for many years, all the exhibits and the educational materials centered around this theme. And the other thing is they go to where their target audience is, which in this case, who loves the zoo? Right now, I love zoos, but really, for when I was there, it's pretty much little kids or are basically younger people. And so they go to where their target audience is and they make it easy to consume their content. Really, because if you think about it, there are two types of people that enjoy the zoo. And when I say enjoy, I mean they scream with joy and laughter at the zoo. So one of them is small children, and the other one is the people who are laughing at the small children who are screaming at the penguins. I mean, I was there, and this one kid just kept running out and be like, look, there's two over here, look, there's two. And the father's like, yeah, I know, because he had eyes too. He's like, yeah, I know. And he'd be like, look, now there's three of them. Yeah, I know. So what do? They offer discounts for groups of 15 or more, you know, like, I don't know, an elementary school class. And they also give discounts to grandparents. So they know who their target audience is, and they've put things in place that make it easy to consume their content. So this is where I always tell people, you have to go to wherever your audience is. If you think you can build it and they're just going to find you, it's much easier if you go find them, make friends with them, and then say, oh, by the way, I do a podcast. The other thing that has helped this zoo is they're not afraid to try new things. And you will hear today that, we're talking with Steve Stewart about trying some new things. If you missed it, last week was episode 400. I tried a lot of new things in last week's episode. I do that every 100 episodes. I just throw caution to the wind and do fun stuff. And last week, I kind of let my creative freak flag fly. And not all of it worked. They put up Christmas lights at the zoo for years, trying to get people go through. And I'm not talking like a couple strands. This was a lot. And it was beautiful. But in the end, it didn't go over because it's, Ohio and it's, I don't know, 7 degrees outside. And I don't care how pretty the lights are. I'm freezing my butt off. So that didn't work. So they should be proud that they tried something new. They can check that off their bucket list. But they also looked at their facilities and they realized that some people are looking for something different. And they opened up their zoo for after-hour parties. So if you want to hang out with the lizards and the snakes in the aquarium, you can do that. You can hold your wedding in this whole beautiful garden section that they have. So they're not afraid to try new things and to grow their audience. But even there, they're saying, hey, you can have your wedding in this garden. You can have an after-hour party with the iguana. But it's all about, again, getting people close to the animals. And then I also saw that the more niche you get, the more information you provide that you can't get anyplace else. And that's a key here. I can't play patty cake with a grizzly bear anyplace else. That is a greater value. And so you can actually get a behind-the-scenes tour of certain exhibits. So the key word here is behind the scenes. And they have a thing where you can tour all 5 facilities for a gift of $500, or you can choose 3 facilities for $350. And it actually shows on their website, like somebody's actually, they have these big, huge turtles that are size of like a car, and they're actually like, you know, petting the turtle. So to get greater access to information that you really can't get anywhere, and now you're taking it to a level that is greater than the previous, you will pay more for that. So when it comes to your content, number one, if you can get content that people can't get anyplace else, that is of value. If you can entertain them while you're doing it, that's even better. If you can solve a problem for them, you now have the ingredient for engaging content. You're solving a problem for them, you're entertaining them, and you're giving them content that they can't get anyplace else. It's going to save them time, it's going to save them money, going to save them headaches. That's the recipe. The other thing they did is they made it easy to get your content. So you go, you get your ticket, here's your map, you head out the door, boom, face to face with a bunch of penguins. You didn't have to go look for it. It was easy to find, easy to consume. So when you build your website, don't make people look for the play button. Don't make them look for the iTunes button. Put it right there. Now, that all depends on what it is you're trying to do with your podcast. Yeah, because your website might be something different. Maybe the main goal of your website is to get people to sign up for your newsletter. Okay, well, then don't make them look for the newsletter. But that's the other thing they did. They don't beat around the bush. It's like, here are the animals. Here they go. Boom, boom, boom. And you don't have to walk a bazillion miles between them. It's easy to consume the content, and they get right to the point. You walk out the door. Boom, here's some penguins. Now, they could have very easily in the 70s, basically, when it was a glorified petting zoo, said, you know what, let's just close up shop. Cleveland's bigger. They've got a better zoo. They got more animals. And we're never, ever going to be compete. They just got us beat. There are other zoos. There's the Columbus Zoo. Other people are doing the whole animal thing. We're just going to pack it up. No, they looked at it and said, okay, what does my audience want? And how can we do it better? How can we do it better? Is there something here? And it all goes back to your audience. What do they want? How can I help them? How can I entertain them? How can I get to the point so I don't waste their time? And they nailed it. And their whole goal, it's everywhere. Come get closer. Come get closer. And people are going, wow. They're going in. They're getting a phenomenal experience quickly. You can go to that whole zoo in about an hour. And there's a lot of animals there. And you're not tired because it's not that big. And you have a great experience. You walk out of there. It's also not that expensive. And you walk out of there telling your friends, wow, I just played patty cake with a grizzly bear. I had some sort of bizarre goose thing going at me. It was kind of different. And I got to watch a bunch of penguins go poop. And that was entertaining. So there you go. So those are some lessons you can learn from the zoo. So think about that now. I always talk about people reverse engineering. Like if you go to iTunes and you find a podcast that you listen to, step back out of yourself and go, why did I choose this one? Maybe it was their image. Maybe it was their description. Maybe it was their album art. Whatever it is, why did you choose that one? If you have a really good experience, enjoy that, because they are few and far between. And then ask yourself, okay, why did I do this? And how can I apply this to my podcast? All right, next up, one of the favorite things I love to do on this podcast is connect with you and answer your questions. Now, of course, if you ever wonder to be answered live and you're up on Saturday morning, go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/live and you can call in and talk to us directly. And I do that as a service because there are those people like, well, I can't afford you if I want to do one-on-one coaching. Well, here you go. It's free. schoolofpodcasting.com/live Saturday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we have a whole hour, myself and Jim Cullison. And I got to say, the best chat room on the internet. And this is from Jackie Ulmer. And that's JACKIEULMER.com. And Jackie is a LMM, better known as multi-level marketing guru. She's basically a marketing guru. And here is her question.
Hey, Dave, it's Jackie Ulmer from JackieUlmer.com. And I first want to say I totally enjoy your show. I've learned so much from you and definitely tune in every single week. And my question kind of flows to that topic of a weekly podcast. I've been podcasting for a year now. It's going extremely well. Stayed committed. Haven't missed one single week. And I'm full speed ahead. But my question is whether to, I'm feeling the desire to want to add to it. I have kind of a subtopic that I want to add to it, as well as, you know, maybe just kind of moving off from that. So my question is, I see a lot of podcasters who do what they call audio blog posts. So they have their weekly podcast, and then they put in like an audio blog, which is clearly something that they've posted out on their blog that they put into audio content because we all consume things differently. So that's my question. What are your thoughts around adding to what's already a weekly show, or is it better just to start a different podcast that is devoted to maybe a weekly tip of the day, or twice a week tip of the day or something like that, so that it doesn't confuse or muddy the water with the weekly podcast? I'm kind of trying to weigh all my options and just wonder if you have anything to share on that. Thanks so much. Again, I appreciate you and appreciate any response that you might have. Have a great day.
Jackie, first, thank you so much for sending that in. That came in via SpeakPipe. And if you haven't signed up for SpeakPipe yet, this is those little buttons you can put on your website that people can leave a comment if they have a microphone plugged in, things like that. Find it at schoolofpodcasting.com/SpeakPipe. And I would say, looking at Jackie's website, her main goal is to get you to sign up for her email. She has a big sign up list there. And so the question here is, I'll give you a little bit of history about me. I did the School of Podcasting, still do, obviously. And I wrote a book called More Podcast Money. So I started a podcast for More Podcast Money. I did it for a while, still put an episode out every now and then, because I thought, well, maybe not everybody wants to hear about how to make money with your podcast. And that's available on the Kindle. If you go to Amazon and just look for More Podcast Money, you'll see it there. And then I wanted a website to help explain to people why they should podcast. So I started a podcast called The Power of Podcasting. And after I started segmenting all these out, everybody that listened to this podcast, I kept getting more people going, why are you making it hard for me to get your content? Because I want all this stuff. I always say, we talk about all things podcasting. Why are you segmenting it? And I went, okay. And then I talked about it a couple years ago when I went to New Media Expo or Blog World in New York. Everybody's like, Dave, I love your show. I just wish it was longer. Well, there you go. I listened to my audience and I kept all those things here. And my show now is usually around 45 minutes to an hour. And really, things like this is where I will go out, and you can use things like SurveyMonkey. You can use WooFoo. It's WUFOO.com. The one I like, and I'm getting ready to make a tutorial on this, PollDaddy.com. PollDaddy is owned by WordPress. And here's why I like this. So I'm always talking about getting in contact with your audience. Okay, how do you do that? PollDaddy.com. And you can basically make it. There's a PollDaddy plugin, I believe, that makes it super easy. And the thing I like about this, things like SurveyMonkey, things like WooFoo, there is a plugin called Surveys. That's it. It's just called Surveys. Not bad, but I also want it to look somewhat okay. And I also want to be able to easily digest the responses. And to make a long story short, the Surveys plugin is okay, but it's kind of, you have to go through a bunch of clicks to get really the big picture of what's going on. I like PollDaddy because I can export it. I can export the whole thing and throw it into Excel, and that's where I thrive. I'm an Excel guru. But even if I'm not an Excel guru, you get like pie charts and graphs and things like that. So I would just try asking them. And the thing about this is there's no limit to the number of responses you can get. Now, for the record, it's hard to get 100 responses, depending on just how big your audience is. But when in doubt, ask, because you will hear things. My marketing musician podcast, when it first came out, was an hour long. And I would get comments like, Dave, I love your podcast, even if it takes me a couple days to get through. Okay. Or even if I have to fast forward through some certain parts. Okay. So that eventually cut that podcast down. They were politely saying it's a little too long. And that, again, I always say, there's no such thing as too long, just too boring. Maybe. We'll see. But I would just ask them, because it may be, the bottom line is, if it's the same topic, so if I started the 2-minute drill, the 2-minute podcast or whatever, some little, one blurb, here it is. Always think about your audience when you create your content. Thank you. Good night. All right. That's the podcast. It's the 30-second tip. Well, I could do that, but why not just keep it here? Why segment it? And the answer would be, well, maybe my audience wants one that's quicker. I should ask Ray about this. My buddy Ray Ortega does podcast quick tips, and see what his ratio is. Maybe I should start a quick tick podcast. I don't know. But ask them. When in doubt, ask. That's what I've done over the years. And there are great tools like PollDaddy. You could also use Google Drive and make a form The thing I don't like about Google Drive, again, it does part of it. It has the, you can have unlimited responses, but it doesn't make cool pie charts and such. So it's not as easy to consume the results. So when in doubt, ask your audience. And the good news is, in the end, you get to decide anyway. But in my case, I separated things because I thought that's what people wanted. And like I said, in some cases, it's what I wanted. I wanted a website, powerofpodcasting.com, to say, hey, if you're not sure if you should start a podcast, go listen to Power of Podcasting. But in the end, my audience is like, can you bring that stuff over here? I don't want to have to run all over the internet to get your content. I want it. And then what you could do is you can have it all on one website, but have different ways of subscribing. So you could say, if you want all of Jackie Elmer stuff, click here. If you want just the quick step stuff, click here. If you want just the long stuff, click here, and put the choice in the hands of your audience. Let them choose. So if I were to start putting videos into this feed, some people are like, what the heck? I didn't sign up for video. I'm an audio person. Okay, then put it out on the website where, okay, if you want all of Dave's stuff, here it is. If you just want the videos, here it is. If you just want the audio stuff, here it is, and let your audience choose. And then you can track how many downloads you're getting of each and decide if it's worth the hassle of doing those other items. Because it may be that maybe your audience doesn't want any video stuff. Maybe they don't want quick tips. But if it, now the other exception to this would be if your topic, let's say your topic is all about marketing. And then all of a sudden you start, hey, I'm going to do a shorter podcast, and this is all going to be about my love of the band Fleetwood Mac because Stevie Nicks is just hot, right? Okay, well, that has nothing to do with marketing. And your audience is going to go like, what is this, man? She sounds like a goat. And they're going to tune out. So keep that in mind. If it's not related at all, well, then absolutely start another podcast. I do a podcast for weight loss at logicalloss.com. And I'm getting excited today, and I keep missing my, he said, messing with his microphone here. Moving all over the place. I do a podcast for weight loss. Okay, that is not going to fit. I'm not going to send that down this particular feed. We're here to talk about podcasting. So if it's not related, definitely start it on another website. But I also cross-promote it. I do stuff like this.
Hi, this is Dave Jackson, and like a well-oiled machine, your body is the perfect engine. However, if you put the wrong food into it over a long period of time, you're going to face significant consequences. I know because I have. Are you like me? You're just too busy to exercise, just too much life in the way? Maybe you're thinking about buying that new latest diet pill that's supposed to erase, block, and dissolve fat and make you thin in just a few days. Order now! Look, it's time to face facts. There is no pill that works in a healthy way with long-term benefits. It's up to you. I'm going to lose 25 pounds, and I'm going to show you how. You can watch and listen to me on the Logical Weight Loss Podcast at logicalloss.com. If I can do it, so can you. Live right, lose weight, live long. It's really that simple. Logical Weight Loss Podcast at logicalloss.com. Come on, you can do it.
So there you go. Little promo for that podcast, and I let you decide. Hey, if you like Dave's stuff, then you can go find me over there. Jackie, thank you so much for your question. I deeply appreciate it. And you can always call in your comments. You can use SpeakPipe. If you go out to schoolpodcasting.com/contact, you can also just call in your comments. It's courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. And that number is 888-563-3228. If you're listening on your phone, dial right now. If you're listening to me on my app, you can click there and dial right there, take you right through, and we'll hear your smiling voice on the podcast. All right, couple quick things I got to talk about here. Number one, on show 400, I had said I'm a couple weeks away of being podcasting for 10 years. That's a lie. Not an intentional lie, just me doing math off the top of my head and being excited. And I actually, according to my records, I started podcasting April 4th, 2005. And I looked at 04, and then looked at the calendar and saw that it said 2014. I thought, wow, that's almost 10 years. Yeah, I've only been podcasting for 9 years. So my apologies. If you're sitting there doing the math going, wait a minute, didn't you just say podcasting since 2005? Some other things I wanted to give a couple of shout outs to. In last week's episode, when I said, hit it, Rob, And he did the School of Podcasting little jingle there. That is Rob Cesternino. I just know him as Rob. You can find him at Rob Has a Podcast, the award-winning podcast. And I hope to have Rob on this show in the future. And that was from the Podcast Expo. Also, the voice, the whole Binky and the Whiz. If you got, where have I heard that voice before? That is the one, the only Scott Fletcher. Let's go back in the day. Scott Fletcher, if you're sitting there going, what was the show he did? It was really, really good. He was hilarious. Podcheck. Yeah, did you hear that? It was Gary Leland in Texas going, that was it. Podcheck Review. And he is the man, Scott Fletcher, little podcast history. Scott Fletcher coined the phrase Podfade, a domain that I would later buy. Yes, I own podfade.com. Because I might write a book about that someday. So there you go. So special thanks to Scott Fletcher for being the obnoxious radio guy in that episode. And if you had thought, hey, I think that 911 operator sounded a little familiar, that was the one, the only, the lovely, the talented, my beloved bride, better known as the nurse or the hammer. Some people call her Diane. That was my wife as the 911 operator in last week's little play. If you haven't heard it last week, again, a very bizarre, go about halfway through if you just want to hear it, and go to schoolpodcasting.com/400. Hey, and that is going to do it for this episode 401 of the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. I want to thank everybody who sent in comments on the blog, and had a couple of people said, man, episode 400 was really, really cool. I wasn't sure how that was going to go over. Really thought that some people might be offended because of that one commercial. That's actually a real commercial, by the way, where they're talking about busting a nut. It's actually a real Corn Nuts. That's an official Corn Nuts commercial. And I was like, really? Wow. But it fit in very well with the people that were controlling the show at the moment. So want to thank everybody for tuning in. And let me ask you, you know, are you ready to maybe do something with your family that could bring you all together? You know, you're all on your phones at the dinner table. You're all texting each other. You're all a bunch of geeks. Why not tie it in together like Mark? And his son is learning a skill now that he's starting to take in school. Maybe you're a business that's looking to connect with your potential buyers. Maybe you're looking to open up that communication stream. Maybe you're a nonprofit like the zoo. The zoo needs a podcast. What was I thinking? I should have said, let's do a zoo cast. We should have done that. Look, there's one place on the internet that has everything you need. It's called schoolofpodcasting.com. I will be announcing next week the new schedule for the live classes. Those are coming back. I really, really would like some more feedback on that. If you go to howtopodcast.com, there's a survey at the bottom. This doesn't cost you a thing. I'm not going to spam you. I just really, really, really value your opinion. We talked today about the zoo and giving people what they want. I'm trying to understand what you want. I've got a pretty good picture, but I really would like a whole lot more responses. So if you haven't already, go over to howtopodcast.com and you can use the survey down there at the bottom. Now, if you would like to give me your opinion and get paid for it, yeah, how's that? Go out to schoolofpodcasting.com, and I'm using a service right now where you can use the survey in the bottom right-hand corner, and the more questions you answer, the more discounts you get on your first month at the School of Podcasting. So you can check that out just by going to schoolofpodcasting.com. It's a new service I'm using, and I'm getting some really interesting insights into what you're looking for. So if you got time, fill them out both. That would be awesome. But I do deeply appreciate it, and I really hope to be working with you in the future. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you again next week with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. It is time to start living a life worth podcasting about. And until next week, class is dismissed. God bless. Today on episode number 401 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we are going to talk about... No, we're not. a little itty bitty zoo that could have said, ah, forget it. We're never going to compete against the big zoos. And they're rocking it. And the lessons that they learn, geez, I suck. I just suck. Why don't I script this out? Why? Because I'm okay.